Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
Get you on the radio, yeah, you gotta get on the radio. If the kids can only hear, they go out of control. You gotta get on the radio. You want the money and the fame and the sold-out shows, and you gotta get on the radio.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. We've got a great guest on the line right here. The one and only Dave Dahl. You might have seen him around the world from Dave's Killer Bread. Welcome, brother, to Around the House.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Eric.
Man, I love what you're doing out there, brother. I really appreciate you coming on today because, you know, you have really kind of walked the walk with the trades out there. And you and I have talked about this more than once, but I love how you hired people into your company when you were doing the day-to-day stuff with Dave's Killer Bread and bringing people into the working environment, and then your work afterwards of getting people into the trades, man. I really appreciate what you're doing, and that's what I want to talk a little bit about today.
Sounds great, man. I'm very passionate about it, and I know you are too, so let's do it.
This is great. Well, if we go back into the history, because there's so many people out there that are, you know, we've got stations now in Chicago and Pennsylvania and stuff that don't really know the legacy in the Northwest here of Dave's Killer Bread like they should, but let's talk a little bit about you and kind of how this story gets started.
All right. Well, I grew up with a family of that made bread, and it's funny that I ended up returning to that, but I really didn't think I would. But it's along the way, you know, I went to prison 4 times. I was just a knucklehead, drug addict, drug dealer, Julio. And, my 4th time in prison, I was fortunate enough to get into a drafting program, computer-aided drafting. And it took me like 3 years. I was on a waiting list. And when I got on that list, I was a little lost, but when it was in a month or two, I was kicking ass. I was ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed every freaking minute of it. And so it was just the beginning of a journey for me, a new journey.
Nice. And then that's kind of the beginning it started. And then you got into the bread business again.
I did. And the funny thing is, you know, people get stuck into thinking that you learn one thing and that's all you know. You know, the thing is, along the way while you're learning things, while you're learning about a trade, you learn about a lot of other things.
Sure.
And the number one thing you learn is about yourself. And you begin to realize that, hey, look, I can do a lot of things. So essentially that's what happened with me. And I had an opportunity to get out a few years later and join my family in business. It was a bakery. You know, I had my dad had started a bakery back in 1955.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, that's a long time ago, isn't it?
No kidding.
And then my dad was gone, of course, by this time. My brother was running the bakery, and he gave me another chance to come back. It wasn't my first chance. I'd screwed up a few times, and I didn't really want to be a baker before this, you know.
Sure.
So, but the opportunity to be a baker, all of a sudden started appealing to me because I realized that I had a mind, that my mindset had changed and my capabilities, I knew I was capable. So I got out and had the opportunity to create a new product, and, you know, kind of the rest is history. But, you know, I had to work very, very hard. And I think that's something that's very important, that people understand that, you know, it's really what you put into it.
It really is. And, you know, and it's tough because, and I don't have to tell you this, but other people out there that might not understand is, you know, you getting out of prison, there was not the land of opportunity out there for you. So you didn't have, you know, you didn't have a dozen options in front of you. I'm sure you were looking at it going, oh, man, I don't like bread, but I don't have another option.
Yeah, I think that was kind of where I was at. I knew, I kind of believed that I would be able to find, even if I started at the very bottom, which I would, I'd start maybe digging ditches or something. My mind was like, I can be the best ditch digger in town, and my boss is going to be so impressed with me that he's going to give me another chance somewhere else. And, you know, that was where I would have gone if I hadn't had this opportunity with the family. You know,
absolutely.
I had this opportunity, and I did have this, and you know, whatever our opportunities are, we gotta kick ass.
No kidding, man. And then you turned around and, like the space shuttle, headed to outer space with it. You not only did you get into the bread industry, you turned around and built a massive brand. And you've got a lot to be proud of with that, just in the hard work and in the creative sense of what you did of creating a healthy rock and roll bread, man.
Yeah, and you know, I had that opportunity. I guess, you know, I was ripe for that opportunity. I was 43 years old when I made that bread. And I made something that I was proud of. I made something that people appreciated. It was funny. I took it to the farmer's market, and people were just tickled. First of all, the product itself was, you know, they all felt it was outstanding. And then they saw this guy that was an ex-con who got out and made something of himself, you know?
Yep.
You know, even though it was really early on, it was 2005, but I was meeting so many great people out there. Ironic, you know? Here I am, the biggest knucklehead of all time, not really, but close. And these people love me, you know, because I'm out there making this bread, this product that they like. And they love, they're tickled by the fact that this guy is moving on from his past.
Dude, so you were 43. For all you people out there that are in your 20s and 30s and think that you don't have opportunity in front of you, Dave created this at 43. Think about that, guys. Just, you know, I mean, and then had a chance to grow it and you know, man, and all that hard work sure paid off.
And I loved, you know, the thing is, I loved every minute of that hard work. I gotta admit, you know, I wasn't always happy. I was frustrated with this thing or that. You know, there's challenges in business, but I felt so good about this opportunity, and it wouldn't have mattered if it was a different opportunity. It would have been the same freaking story, and I would have knocked it out of the park. And I think one of the important things to point out to people is that it's never too late to knock it out of the park. I mean, you're going to get another bat, you know. And it took me a long time, man. I guess with the baseball analogy, you know, I struck out over and over again. But when I hit that sucker, boy, it was on.
Man, you hit the grand slam and the bottom of the ninth that was a World Series Game 7 kind of thing right there, and you dropped the bat at the end of it. I mean, you did nice job.
Most likely not to succeed, you know, for many, many years, and then boom, it happens. Well, then, so it's never too late.
No, but what I like about, and, you know, this would be an awesome story to this point, but what I love about it, and hitting the backtrack machine a little bit here, is that you turned around and decided that you wanted to, as part of your core business principles, was to provide that same opportunity to other people that had made some bad decisions in life, and to really kind of put your hand out and say, here, brother, let me help you out and get you on the right path.
Yeah, and that's kind of natural when you've been through what I've been through, you know, to have that sort of sentiment, I would think. Mm-hmm. I don't know why anyone in my shoes wouldn't want to help others in the same way. But it wasn't like, as a business person, it wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna pick out all these losers and, you know, make this happen. No, these people were, we had to pick good people who were ready for this opportunity. Sometimes we chose badly because we didn't always know what we were doing. But what I was always looking for myself was people who had done the work to that point. And, you know, you've been in prison maybe 2 or 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. What have you been doing with yourself while you're in there? What makes you somebody I would consider hiring? And it's not, and I've never, you know, in those days, it wasn't like, okay, we're going to hire ex-cons. No, we're going to hire the best person for the job.
Nice.
That we could find. And we were building, we had a time where I think we hired 50 people in 2 months.
Wow.
You know, which is crazy. Wow. Which is crazy. We didn't have an HR person yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just quite the experience. And we had good luck, we had bad luck, but overall we found that ex-felons can be really great motivated employees. And I think that's true of a lot of different people who have struggled in the past, but they need to figure it out. You know, we can't figure it out for them. So it was like an opportunity to do the right thing. And then funny, it actually helped us sell bread.
Yeah. That's the ironic part of it, is that it, you know, you were doing the right thing. You're helping out, but it also made a really cool story in the back of the package.
Absolutely. You know, I remember writing, when you speak of the back of the package, that was, I wrote that in 2005, the original version of the
nice.
Story. The story they tell on it now is totally different.
Sure.
But the story I told was very personal on the back of my bag. And I was just like, it was all very positive. It was like, look, I'm this knucklehead. You know, it started out, I'm a four-time loser, finally, you know, figured out how to play the game or something. And I just did. I wrote it out about my experience in prison and, you know, how I was able to turn it around, and I'm ready for this opportunity, essentially. And people loved that story. Boy, they loved that story. And it got me, you know, it's hard to explain or, you know, point out all the different ways that made a difference. But ultimately, I was able to go out. People wanted me to go out and speak about my story. And I had this, I decided, rather than me prepare a speech for all these, I would make a video. And the video told my story. So every time I would tell the story, first it was to all these Rotary clubs around mm-hmm. Portland and beyond. You know, once you get in one Rotary club, you're in all of them. You know?
Exactly.
And we had a blast. I had such a blast. And I had so much fun. People, I would wait till, you know, somebody would ask me a question, then I'd throw them a loaf of bread, and then everybody wanted to ask questions.
Smart. That's a good play. That's a good play.
Yeah. It turned out to be an ongoing sort of thing that we did everywhere. But, you know, giving away that bread is like getting a new customer every time, you know?
Yep.
So it was a blast that way. I had this opportunity to go everywhere talking about my bread and talking about my story and showing the video. And it was a beautiful several years.
No kidding. And then, you know, time goes along and you end up selling the company. And then you start, it seems that after that happened, it seemed you started really getting involved with other local organizations here on getting people going in the trades and getting some training going out there.
Absolutely. We can talk about everybody can read about my story. It's all out there as far as, you know, my ups and downs and my, you know, my disasters and my wins and my losses. It's all out there. And, but what I did, you know, it took me a little time. I got out, you know, I had some issues in 2013,
mm-hmm.
And that's available to watch. I had a breakdown, mental breakdown. I had to start over
yep.
in 2013, 2014. And it took me a couple of years actually to work through my own issues. I had mental issues that I was dealing with, but I was fortunate enough to see light again. They say, mm-hmm. "Well, look, you know, this is where was I before I, you know, fell off track?" And one of those things was being involved with stuff that, you know, was making a difference. And it isn't just making a difference; it's making a difference in the way that I am able to make a difference.
Sure.
So I was able to take my story, my experience, and add it to other people's endeavors. And so one of those, actually, you know, there's others besides this, but one of my favorites, in fact, my number one favorite, is called Constructing Hope here in Portland. These guys, and I didn't get into this till maybe 2016 or so,
mm-hmm.
Maybe 17. But I've just been a supporter of this program because what they do, most people are, if they get into this program, are ex-felons. Hey, say hi to your dog. What kind of dog is that?
That's the thing, you're working from home here. You know, I've got I got the FedEx guy showing up here at the front of the door, and he's showing up here. And so I've got my half German Shepherd, half Chow mix in the background, yelling name Rye, like the whiskey. He's and he's that color, and he's doing his job, if you know what I mean.
Well, I love the authenticity of that. Okay, so so then we okay, I got into this program, you know, and there's a lady named Pat Daniels who runs the program.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking about a lot of things. What the program does is it takes generally their ex-felons that have, you know, I've got to start over, right?
Yep.
And they're giving these guys and gals, opportunities in the trades. What they do is they teach them the basics to get ready for, to be proficient when they get started with the, apprenticeship programs, and it's been very, very successful. It's changed many, many lives. Many people have got meaningful jobs from this program.
Yeah,
and so it's a nonprofit, and they don't ever have enough money. It's funny. Just less than a month ago, we realized that because they don't have the people getting in the program right now due to all the social distancing and such,
mm-hmm.
they don't get the money. They don't get their grants.
Man.
You know, and that sucks. So what I did is I told her, you know, I would help out. I'm not going to talk the details of that.
Sure, of course not.
But this is my great opportunity to make a difference. Usually I don't do it with my money as much as I do with my experience and my passion.
Sure.
But in this case, you know, I'm going to help out. And it feels really good to be able to make that difference.
You know, I wouldn't mind teaming up with you. We had talked about this maybe a year ago, and things didn't work right with the TV shoot schedule we're trying to do, but maybe I can give you a hand too and bring some more, like we are right now, bringing some more publicity to those guys, and maybe we can get some, you know, some building materials manufacturers and stuff involved here to help out with that, to help with the material costs and tools, oh, man, and things like that. So let's after we're done with this, you know, radio show that we're talking through right now, let's see if we can put our heads together and bring some people in that that can play well together. Because, of course, I've got my contacts like you do, and maybe we need to team up a little bit and get these guys a little more love so they can what they're doing is beautiful. I mean, I love how they're taking, you know, and they're creating housing. They're creating skills, you know, and that's huge. Well,
and they also do help the guys and gals with some of the things besides the education. You know, it's a tough program to keep going and support because, I mean, it works so well, but they operate so lean. I've never mm-hmm. seen an operation that operates so lean. And these people, nobody's making money. Nobody's getting rich off this thing.
No.
I have a mind that says, well, someday they should get rich. But in the meantime, right now, we just need to keep the thing going.
Yeah, yeah, because there's just so many people that they're helping. And, you know, for people that aren't in the Portland area here, and we've got a lot of people that are outside the Portland area that listen to this, but, you know, here we had that problem with, you know, the old jail out there, the Wapato Jail, that was the brand new jail that they built, was empty. And I'd been trying for years on social media and on the radio to get somebody to do something that with that building to help people instead of tearing down a housing facility. And finally, you know, thanks to some people stepping up for that, they're actually going to be creating that into someplace that can get people some hope and get people some housing on a very temporary level. So I know that's a whole other subject, but
that's fantastic though. And you know, there's a lot of aspects to that. I could go on to that side of things for quite a while. I know the most important thing in my mind is accountability for people. You know, people have to own this opportunity and make the most of it. And sometimes, you know, just getting a place to live can be the beginning of an opportunity for someone. And then there's others who just, I don't want to be negative, but, you know, truthfully, there's others who just take advantage. And we'd like to keep that from being a real easy option.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because, you know, socially here, especially in the Pacific Northwest, is we have, you know, people call it the housing problem, but really we've got a drug addiction / mental illness problem that relates to housing.
And that's that way. It's that way here and all over the West Coast and, you know, San Francisco and so forth. But, you know, obviously our concern mostly is the kick ass here in this town. So then maybe that model is repeated in other places as well.
Yeah, you get it fine-tuned here, and then it's very easy to make it in Seattle and then San Francisco. Once you get that model going and you get the right support, once it's built up and working like a Swiss watch, then you're cooking with gas at that point. Then you can like, all right, now we got it.
You know, we have this COVID-19 that is creating so many, you know, problems, but and you worry about, you know, what a program like this, how they're going to do what everybody else is trying to fight for a job, you know. But, you know, it could be that some folks, it wouldn't even just, you know, this program isn't just for ex-felons, by the way. So
no.
It's really more about people getting a new start. But, you know, that we worry about these kinds of things, but I know there's answers. It's like, when people sit around crying about it, I'm like, I don't have time for that, man. You know, we've got solutions here somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that just need just somebody to reach out and give them a hand and help them get on the right track. They still got to do the hard work, but just going, hey, you need to head north and pull up the bootstraps and let's go. And just some of that mentoring and some of that just, you know, basic love goes a long way in getting people headed the right direction.
Absolutely.
But like you said, I mean, it's one of those things that at the same time, they've got to want to be in that position because it's not easy. They got to fight hard.
Yeah. Not everybody's, you know, ready for that opportunity. Some people have issues that make them not capable of doing that. There's various health issues and mental issues that people have. You know, there's other problems we have to deal with, but there's a lot of, I would say, low hanging fruit when it comes to opportunities. And that's, we have to fill those up and work on the harder ones as we go.
Absolutely. Hey, and anybody wants to give or help Constructing Hope, go to constructinghope.org. And you can find that over there. And there's a donate button on the right top of the screen. So anybody out there that's says, hey, that's a good idea, just go over that. You'll see the orange banner across the top. Click donate. Head over there and help some people out. And that'll...
By the way, right now, this couldn't be a better time to help. And they need the money. They don't get the grants right now due to the issues of the virus and all that. They need the money more than they ever have.
Perfect. So, yeah, head over to constructinghope.org and click donate right there. There is nothing that is too little. So anything you could do to help out there, guys, is going to be a big one. And, you know, you're basically putting people into a pre-apprenticeship program. So what you're doing is you're solving two problems. One, you're getting somebody, you know, onto a career path that's going to keep them off the streets. And two, you're going to start helping fill that massive hole that we have out there in the trades, even though in a lot of area construction is been paused for a while because of this COVID-19 stuff. As soon as people click go, that big, huge gap in the trades right now, where because of 100 different reasons of us not teaching kids in school how to do wood shop or any of this other stuff, that hole still exists. And it's going to come back glaring as everybody's going to be getting back into construction again.
That's a fascinating way to put it, man. I like it.
Well, you know, you think about it. I mean, how many wood shops, and there's exceptions here in the Portland area, but most, you know, across the country, most high schools took wood shop, and a lot of those trades, the welding, the automotive, most of those things got filled in with computer labs and everything else. And now there's hundreds of thousands of jobs out there, which are six-figure paying jobs if you go out and bust your butt and make it just that. And you're not paying back college. So yes, it's a good place to be.
This is why this opportunity is so exponential. It's like you said, it takes care of so many birds with one stone, you know. It so much difference can be made in this way. And so being a part of this is a good feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know a lot of plumbers out there. I know a lot of electricians out there that are making, you know, six-figure incomes and are millionaires being plumbers and electricians. So it's easy to get there. And so it's just one of those things that I think that we can't talk enough about, because it's such a huge deal to get, you know, people that need help into these jobs. And more importantly, you know, you're getting them on the right foot and getting them where they're being constructive members of society. They're feeling good about themselves. And we're also helping out the rest of the world too, by putting the right people in the jobs and getting those construction jobs filled.
Yeah, I want to point out one more thing. Each person whose life is changed, decides to change their life, and is given the opportunity to change their life, has such an exponential effect on the people around them. It, you know, their families, the business they work for, obviously, the community, and I dare say the world, by each person making a difference. So,
absolutely,
it's really cool.
It's cool stuff. Well, Dave, why don't we keep in touch on this stuff, and let's you and I talk off air more about Constructing Hope and see how we can put our brains together and get on this, because this is such a good program, and we can't, and I know you're not, but we as a community and we as the world can't let these kind of things fail, because there's just too many people depending on these kind of things.
Yeah, but you know, before I knew about such things, I mean, I didn't know. I know now. I get excited about it. I think so many people should get excited about it, because this isn't politics. This isn't religion. This isn't anything but good common sense.
And, no kidding. And we need a lot more of that.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
We do. Well, brother, thanks for coming on Around the House, and let's talk more about this again. Let's dive into this Constructing Hope in the future here a little bit more, and let's see what we can do to help these folks out.
All right, my friend. It's been a joy talking to you.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the Around the House with Eric G. interview with Dave Dahl. This was so much fun and an honor to have him in the show and talk about all these different things. This is that end-to-end interview that was cut up for the last week's show. So I just wanted to share that out there. So anybody that wanted to catch it could hear the whole thing, because we had to cut so much out of it just because of the normal time constraints. All right, take a listen to Around the House this next weekend. We got a great show ahead. Want to see you there? Thanks for listening to Around the House. You can buy me a drink, I can get you a Jennifer Lopez, and I can buy you a ring that's bigger than Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.